We're joined on the programme this morning by Graham Anderson, a sports barrister. Hello, Graham. Good morning.
Morning, Vanessa.
I mean, it's very interesting because only a day ago we had various experts and pundits on the programme saying they thought that this Super League was a fait accompli, that it was inevitable, that it was financially motivated, piloted and funded to the point of, I think, £300 billion or more, Goldman Sachs, etc. And that therefore it would go on regardless of the feelings and the emotions expressed by fans, players and everyone else. However, they were wrong, weren't they?
Absolutely. If you had asked me for my take on this 24 hours ago, I would have said either this is a financially motivated decision that has been months, if not years, in the planning. They will have crossed every T and dotted every I, and is going to come down to the courts to decide whether it's lawful. It all seems to have crumbled. They have bottled it. They mustn't have crossed as many T's or dotted as many I's as I had expected.
Does this mean that contracts won't have existed, won't have been set up? Because it sounded as if they were quite a way down the line with this, didn't it?
Yeah, there is no way that these major financial investors came forward with billions of dollars without some extremely well-drafted instruments behind that investment. And we've heard expressions from these clubs now pulling out saying, you know, we have issued papers to request to pull out. So plainly there is a detailed process that has been agreed between these clubs, the investors and the league. They must have come up with contingencies for people leaving, and no matter how confident they were, they can't have ruled out the possibility of this crashing and burning, or at least requiring people to pull out at some point. So they've taken that contingency into account and they've set themselves a procedure for it. Are there penalties for these clubs pulling out from the other clubs that are still in and from this new league? Who knows? Time may tell.
Yes, and so based on the enormous flurry of activity in the last few days and the huge dissatisfaction with what is seen to be a kind of money-centric focus in what's meant to be a beautiful game, do you predict that there will be any long-lasting changes to the structure, to the pay structure or anything else as a result?
I think it's a great political opportunity for the two main political parties in this country to do something, and frankly I think it will be politically unacceptable for them not to now. Johnson was speaking about a legislative bomb to stop this particular effort. Well, that's probably unnecessary now, but I'm sure that we are going to move into territory where fans are given a legal role.
Have we lost Graham Anderson there? Is he still on the programme? I don't know. Did he fall off the line? Hello Graham, we didn't hear you. Said fans are going to be given what? What did you say?
Some sort of input on major decisions, I should have thought. Is it a golden share that allows them to veto decisions or something like that? Let's see, but one would expect to be moving into that territory.
I see. And how could that be, do you think? What do you mean when you say golden share? What does that mean?
So the way companies are structured, you could have a legal requirement, a statutory requirement, that a fan body is entitled to a share or a number of shares in the club, and that share entitles them to a say over specific decisions, even if they don't own 51% of the company.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us, Graham Anderson there, sports barrister. Sorry about the reception there. Don't know, something finally on the line. We'll take a trail. We'll be straight back with you.